Hi, everyone, and welcome to On The Box, the Geek Show's dedicated television podcast. Hello. Yes. I am Rob, and today I am here with a lovely Andrew.
Hello.
And nobody else.
Yep, it's just the two of us. We can make it if we try.
Yes, we can. It's weird doing this show with just the two of us.
Yeah. What makes it even weirder is it's Good Friday, so there's basically no one in the building where we record this show.
Yeah, I know. It's spooky. I'm scared, Andrew. I'm scared.
Well, I told you, but I know what you did in the toilets, Rob.
Oh, thank you.
I'm maintaining a safe distance away from you.
Oh, thank you. Anyway, I believe it's time for the news.
It is. It is exactly news o'clock.
Yes. So what has been happening in the world of television?
First up, we have some very interesting news about the state of Georgia over in the America. Basically, there is a piece of legislation going through the whatever they have there that makes things pass into law.
That would be the state legislature.
Yes, that kind of thing. Basically, it's a new law that would say churches and other religious establishments are allowed to discriminate on whether or not they decide to allow couples to marry based on their sexuality. So basically it would mean that people could ban gay marriage. And there's been a big outcry from lots of people, including entertainment departments. We've got the NFL, Motion Picture Association of America, Disney, AMC, and Time Warner all basically threatening to boycott the state if it goes through.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of this news story. I agree that it's not right, but if they are practicing freedom of religion, then that leads to that murky area about if you believe in this particular religion or that particular religion, then the rules of that religion, because that religion is a historic thing, and changing the rules arbitrarily because of the development and evolution of human society is a difficult thing. That's something for greater minds than ours to think about, you know, and that's something that I don't think a simple church in a state can arbitrarily decide. That's something that has to come from much, much higher up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what you're saying is, do we still live in a society where people necessarily have to get married to, you know, to spend their lives together?
Yeah, my point is exactly that. You just put it in much simpler terms than I was.
Well, I had that entire long rambling statement to think about it.
Yes, you did. But that's basically what I'm saying. Do we still live in a society where a couple needs to have that whole idea of marriage? Because marriage is really, it's a nonsense when you get right down to it. I mean, the majority of marriages these days end in divorce, which is not a religious concept at all.
Yeah, I mean, basically the problem is we're still in that awkward middle ground of some things we're still tied to the church for, but a lot of other things we've kind of moved off in our own direction.
Yeah. I mean, a civil partnership is exactly the same as a marriage, but
yeah, I think the problem is legally it's not quite equivalent, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In terms of the sentiment, it's exactly the same, but legally it's not, and I don't understand.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't understand why a civil partnership shouldn't be the same as a marriage. The two are legally binding. It's a contract that says that these two people are going to be together for the rest of their lives. And that should just be called a marriage. Whether it's a civil partnership or whether it's a normal marriage, it is still just a marriage. Whether it's done in a registrar's office or in a church or wherever, it's a marriage, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. But basically, like you said, this is a way bigger issue than for us to decide.
Yeah.
I like that these companies are standing up and saying, no, basically discrimination is wrong.
Yeah.
And we're willing to put our money where our mouth is.
I'm happy that they're willing to put their money where their mouth is. It's just that I think that that question is one that I think they need to address sooner rather than later. Otherwise, you're just going to end up with this situation happening over and over again.
Yeah, really, it's a larger question of how tied to the church do we want one society to be?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, we don't live in the Dark Ages or the medieval times when the church was dominating politics because the church had more money than the royalty and the government. It's literally because of that. If you look back through history, that's the only reason the church held so much sway, was because it had more money than anybody else.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, did you know there used to be a law in quite a lot of countries? This is how the church ended up with so much money, that if somebody died...
Yeah, all their money went to the church.
Yeah, well, if they didn't have any...
Yeah, if they didn't have a will...
Have any heirs or...
Church will be taking that then, yonk.
Yep, exactly. And
they see the church as dragons.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that point up quite succinctly.
No, I've just had a really, really horrible mental image.
Oh, no, Rob.
No, you know Dragon's Den. Instead of Deborah Meaden and the rest of them, you've got the Pope. Like, whoever's in charge of the Jewish faith and whoever's in charge of Islam.
Oh, man, I would love that. Like, instead of saying, like, I'm out, they just silently stare and then reach over and press the trapdoor button.
Yes. Except for the Jewish faith, because I believe they don't have the concept of hell. So... So maybe it's lots of kisses from some grandmother figure.
How would that work if there's a Buddhist one with reincarnation?
So, yeah.
Yeah, but see, there are some kinks that need to be ironed out.
Yes. But that version of Dragon's Den would be hilarious.
I want it. I would watch it.
Oh.
Okay, shall we move on then?
Yes.
We've got some lighting news now. I'm not sure if we've mentioned this before on the show, but there is a planned American version of Dirk Gently, which, initially, that's a bit... Ooh.
Yeah, we know what American remakes of British TV shows tend to be like. It's the rare one that is actually any good.
Yeah, especially something like Dirk Gently, which I feel is very intrinsically British.
Yeah, unless you get the right person behind it and the right actors, it's going to lose a lot of its character.
Which conveniently brings us around to who's doing it. It's going to be Max Landis creating it, which definitely gets me interested. Yeah. And starring in it is going to be Elijah Wood, but not as Dirk Gently, as his assistant Todd.
Ah. Now that could work.
Yeah, I can see that going well.
Yeah, Elijah Wood could really work as Todd. So
I think Elijah Wood can work as lots of things. He's a very good actor.
He is. He was in that TV series with the guy dressed as a dog, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, like Wilfred or something.
Yeah. And he was actually pretty good in that, I thought.
Yeah, he was. He's a funny guy.
But who have they got as Dirk Gently?
We don't know yet. This is literally the only piece of casting news we know.
So they've cast Todd, but they haven't cast Dirk Gently.
Yeah, it seems weird. Unless maybe it's one of those things. Like, initially maybe they wanted Elijah Wood for Dirk Gently, and they tried him out, and they thought, actually, maybe you're not the best fit for this role, but instead you can be this.
I suppose that could work, yeah. I'll buy that argument.
Yeah, because, I mean, it does seem like a strange thing to be the first thing cast.
Yeah, and the first thing cast isn't the titular character.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not. I think of all the things to be cast, it would be Dirk Gently that gets announced first.
Yeah.
Although we say that, it's exactly like Xena, isn't it? But we still have no idea who's going to be the new Xena Warrior Princess.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's very, very true. Because it can't be Lucy Lawless. She's got her hands tied. She's basically busy with Evil Dead.
She is. Although I would love to see her do both.
What, Evil Dead dressed as Xena?
Yes.
Do that little walk, that ululating walk. Ululating? Ululating? How do you pronounce that?
Isn't this like the second time you tried to pronounce this recently?
Yeah, I think so. Well, no, I actually tried to make the noise the last time.
Yes, you did.
And failed horribly. So I just decided to use the word, which is actually only slightly better. And I mean slightly, because I mean, if the noise is la-la-la-la-la-la kind of thing, and the word for that is ululating or ululating or whatever, it's only slightly better.
So what does it say about us that this is the second week in a row which the word ululating has snuck into a show?
Is it actually ululating?
Ululating. Done. Bosh.
It's a war cry.
Yes. Sorry. Text her gently. We'll have to keep an eye on that one, see how it turns out. Moving onwards to, speaking of things getting adapted for American television, sort of, apparently this could be a TV adaptation of The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Ooh.
And potentially other novels in that series. But the interesting thing is, apparently it's being created by Neil Cross, who is the guy who made Luther.
Really?
Yeah.
Now that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued in that. But he's been recruited by Endemol Shine Studios, Entertainment 360, and Diogenes.
Diogenes?
Yes, just the god Diogenes has commissioned a TV series, apparently.
Yeah, I'm confused by that. I'm just thinking, what?
I assume it's like some kind of production company.
Called Diogenes.
Called Diogenes.
Is this... I get confused. Which one was Diogenes again?
Oh, wait, no. I'm thinking of Dionysus, aren't I, the god of wine?
Yes.
Who's Diogenes then?
I know the name from somewhere. I think, was it a philosopher of some sort?
Oh, I know where I know it from. The Diogenes Club is what Mycroft is a member of in Sherlock Holmes.
Ah. Oh, no. Diogenes was a philosopher, I was right. Ancient Greek philosopher.
Which will be where they get the name from.
Yeah. Diogenes of Sinope. I thought I knew the name.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad we sorted that mystery out.
Yes. Although the artwork associated with Diogenes is, yeah, it's not the most impressive.
Oh, those
great masters.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can now officially reveal on the show, Diogenes was ripped.
I find that hilarious that they've done that. See, they've got a statue of Diogenes of Sinope, which is at Sinope in Turkey. And it's... Hang on. I know exactly who he is now.
Is he the guy who carried around that lantern all the time to show off his glistening abs?
No, he had the lantern, but he's the one who lived in the barrel.
I don't think I know this story.
You don't know this story?
No, I don't think I do.
One of the philosophers, one of the like really famous philosophers, lived in the barrel for a time to try and understand something. I can't remember. It's been a long time since I was at school.
Back pain, I would assume.
Yeah. He's known as Diogenes the Cynic, and he was born in Sinope, which is modern-day Sinope in Turkey. And
is that where we get cynicism from?
Yeah, and he was a controversial figure. His father minted coins for a living, and when Diogenes took to a debasement of currency, he was banished from Sinope. After being exiled, he moved to Athens and criticized many cultural conventions of the city. He modeled himself on the example of Heracles, and he believed that virtue was better revealed in theory. Yeah.
He modeled himself on Hercules.
Yeah.
And he criticized things.
On Heracles, I should say. Yeah, and criticized
He was
things.
Kevin Sorbo film critic.
Yes. Oh, God, yes. Oh, that's genius.
It's a show crossover.
If you're wondering what that's a reference to, listen to 4Panel. We have a show called Kevin Sorbo Film Critic. You'll understand what we're talking about there. Anyway. This is genius. He used his simple lifestyle and behavior, which arguably resembled poverty, to criticize the social values of institutions of what he saw as a corrupt or at least confused society. In a highly non-traditional fashion, he had a reputation of sleeping and eating wherever he chose and took to toughening himself against nature. He declared himself a cosmopolitan and a citizen of the world rather than claiming allegiance to just one place. And there are many tales about him dogging Antisthenes' footsteps and becoming his faithful hound. Diogenes made a virtue of poverty. He begged for a living and often slept in a large ceramic jar, which is the whole barrel thing. In the marketplace, he became notorious for his philosophical stunts, such as carrying a lamp in the daytime, claiming to be looking for an honest man. He criticized and embarrassed Plato, disputed his interpretation of Socrates, and sabotaged his lectures, sometimes distracting attendees by bringing food and eating it during the discussions. Diogenes was also noted for having publicly mocked Alexander the Great. So basically, he was a dick.
Oh my God, he sounds amazing.
He just sounds like he's like the best teacher ever.
Like, I think I've just realized who my hero is.
Diogenes of Sinope. Oh no, this is the best bit. After being captured by pirates.
Yes.
And sold into slavery, so he's now going down the Conan route. Diogenes eventually settled in Corinth. There he passed his philosophy of cynicism to Crates. Just Crates, not Socrates, but Crates. Who taught it to Zeno of Citium, who fashioned it into the school of Stoicism, one of the most enduring schools of Greek philosophy. None of Diogenes' many writings has survived, but details of his life come in the form of anecdotes, especially from Diogenes Laertius in his book Lives and Opinions of Eminent Philosophers. All that is available is a number of anecdotes concerning his life and sayings attributed to him in a number of scattered classical sources. It's just the best. Captured by pirates and sold into slavery. Anyway. So yeah, he's the one who lived in a barrel.
And you know, he was just like sitting there criticizing the pirates' work, scrubbing the deck.
Yeah. Oh, no. Can you imagine him? Captured by pirates. You're not a proper pirate. Where's your peg leg? Where's your parrot? You're supposed to go, yahar, matey. Look. This is not how you make someone walk the plank.
I'm pretty sure they missed out the part where he just criticised his way to taking over the pirate ship.
No. Can you
taught them how to be proper pirates.
Yeah, can you imagine? He's like, look, if you're going to be pirates, you have to be flamboyant about it.
He was very ahead of the curve, was Diogenes.
Yeah, he was. Where's all the dirty lace and silk and stuff like that? Where's your triangular hat? Call that a sword? That's not a pirate sword. It's a cutlass. Why aren't you dual-wielding cutlasses?
Where is the swash and the buckle?
Yes, where is the swash and the buckle? Call that a poop deck? That's not a poop deck.
That's good. I was getting worried because, you know, we've done politics, we've done philosophy. This is getting way too high, bro.
No.
Thank God for the poop deck.
Indeed. Thank God for the poop deck.
So anyway, the talented Mr. Ripley.
See, I liked the film. I thought Matt Damon was really good in it.
It was Journey's showing like that he's not just hanging on to Ben Affleck's stage.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I'm sure there were people in Hollywood who thought they were just like conjoined twins.
Yeah, there were, because they had to do all sorts of movies together. And I think that all of this time, Matt Damon has been the better actor. Because when Ben Affleck was doing, what was it, Gigi? The one with Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah.
When he was doing that, what was Matt Damon doing?
Something infinitely better, I assume.
I think he was doing The Talented Mr. Ripley, and he was doing Rounders, and John Malkovich is great in Rounders, but Matt Damon was good as well. And he was doing Good Will Hunting, and then he went on from there to do all sorts of other things, and obviously they did their stints with Kevin Smith and the Jay and Silent Bob stuff. But then, you know, they go on from there, and he does Bourne. And all of a sudden, Matt Damon, action hero.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and he's coming back in a new Bourne movie, isn't he?
He is indeed.
Just called Jason Bourne. So, yeah.
But it's okay, Ben Affleck, because you were in Batman v Superman.
See, this is the thing. If they just cast Ben Affleck as Batman.
Yeah, like, I make fun, but from what I've heard, he is the best bit of that film.
Apparently, he makes a really good Bruce Wayne and a really good Batman.
Yeah, I can actually see that.
Do you know why I think he makes a really good Bruce Wayne and Batman?
Because he too has suffered through a life of hardship.
Nope. Well, yeah, he did Daredevil.
Exactly.
I was confused as to where you were going with that, and then I clicked. So yeah, he learned from his mistakes. And the thing is, Ben Affleck has proven that he can act. I mean, if you've seen Argo,
yeah,
he's really good in Argo.
Good acting work there.
Yeah. So he's proven he can act. So I would have preferred they go with just a straight-up Batman movie. If you're going to do Batman v Superman, why not do it the way they did it in, was it the Justice League cartoon, or was it an actual cartoon movie? I can't remember. The first meeting of Batman and Superman.
Yeah, I would assume that's probably Batman or Superman, the animated series.
It was one of them. And basically, they're meeting Gotham, and Superman's going, "Ah, oh, who is this guy?" And Batman's going, "Who's this clown?" And then they just go their separate ways. And then they meet as Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne, and because Clark Kent is Superman, he basically realizes straight away Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Yes, I remember that now.
And then Bruce Wayne figures out that Clark Kent is Superman because he tells Superman, and Superman doesn't know he's there.
Because he's Batman.
Exactly. He's like, he's got that little scope, and he's just on like the side of the building with the little scope going, "Gotcha." And that would have been so much better.
Or if they wanted to keep like the older Bruce Wayne thing, just do Dark Knight Returns the movie.
Yeah.
Or just, at the very least, at the front of the Batman v Superman, people just give people DVDs of the animated Dark Knight Returns movie and just turns them away. Go, watch this instead. It's better.
I think that you should have Zack Snyder doing that.
You should.
As punishment.
Personally going around handing them out to members of the audience.
Yeah. Who was it who did Batman v Superman? Was it Warner Brothers?
Yeah, I think it was Warner Brothers.
Right, Warner Brothers, here's the thing, right? You need to have a board meeting with Zack Snyder there, but you don't let him take part. You put him in that little glass cubicle, you know, facing the outside world. He's not allowed to take part in the board meeting or any discussion of any superhero movies or Justice League or anything else. He just faces the outside world, you know, knowing his shame.
Wearing the special dunce cap.
Yes. We discussed this before as the best way to show somebody that they messed up big time, and we think it should apply to Hollywood directors as well, especially Hollywood directors. Looking at you, Michael Bay.
Well, I think the main problem is finding enough corners to stick bad Hollywood directors in.
Maybe on every street corner in Beverly Hills. We're just like their shame plastered on the walls outside of it, on the glass outside, saying, "I directed Transformers, all four movies for Michael Bay." And just have Transformers fans notified so they can gather around and just, you know, laugh and point at him. And he can't see them and just wondering what they're laughing at. What they're laughing at. They can't see me.
But they can see you, Michael Bay.
Yes.
We can all see you.
Do you know what the worst part about Michael Bay is? He actually apologized for the Transformers movies.
And then made another one.
Yeah.
I want to apologize, Michael Bay. Stop making them.
Yeah. This is what happens when you give a child the cookie jar.
We have not talked about TV shows on this TV show. Like, at all.
We kind of deviated. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah. Born TV series. No.
Talented Mr. Ripley TV series.
So, who's...
Yeah, could be cool. Could be like Dexter, but not awful.
So, who's going to be in it? Do we know?
Again, we don't know.
I think that's what's stopping us talking about TV is just
we have these announcements. No one's been cast in anything.
Yeah, we have these announcements, but we don't know who's going to be in them. So, yeah. Right. I am interested, though, because I do like talented Mr. Ripley, and I thought John Malkovich, coming back to John Malkovich again, was brilliant in Ripley's Game.
Oh, I haven't seen Ripley's Game.
It's the sequel to Talented Mr. Ripley, and it's really good.
Yeah, cool, I'll have to watch that.
So, yeah, that's one for you.
Yes, it is. Anyway, moving on from things that are about to start to things that have finished a while ago.
Okay.
First up, we have Hannibal, and apparently the showmakers are doing an auction of all the various props from the show. Like, I took a little look earlier, and it is literally, like, everything from every episode is on sale.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. You can get, like, outfits, props. You get all of Mads Mikkelsen's crazy, like, insane peacock suits.
Wow.
And like, it's just so weird, the stuff that's on auction. Like, you've got bloody knives, blood spattered clothes, bloody everything, because there was so much blood in Hannibal. Then you've got like Wendigo busts from Will Graham's Crazy Imagination. Stunningly enough, you can get Hannibal's kill suit, which is just like a cut and overall thing that goes over his suit.
That's quite a disturbing thing to want to buy.
Yeah, that's... I would be worried about who wins that auction. Oh, fake teeth from the episode with the mushroom serial killer.
Oh.
More bloody knives. Oh, a lovely decorative pillow.
Okay.
which I believe in the show was meant to be made out of human skin, but I hope wasn't actually human skin.
Okay.
And, best of all, you can get Will Graham's therapy cage.
Okay, you're going to have to explain what a therapy cage is.
Basically, in Series 2 of Hannibal, Will Graham gets framed for all of Hannibal's crimes and locked up in a mental asylum. And the idea is that Hannibal will occasionally come talk to him and do therapy sessions with him. And basically, Will is like strapped in a chair in just a massive cage. And you can buy that.
Wow.
You can have your own therapy cage.
The question is, who are you going to put into the therapy cage?
I think that's a question with a similar answer as to why you've bought a kill suit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, although, coolly enough, thinking about it, I assume if they're selling all the props,
yeah,
you can get the face mask as well. You know, the famous Hannibal,
yeah,
little thing with the dots on. I mean, that would actually be pretty cool to own in a I am an emotionally damaged serial killer type way.
Yeah, if you walked around here with it, you'd probably get arrested straight away.
Well, it was more for home use than a casual going out outfit.
Okay. I'll believe you.
Good.
Don't believe him.
Don't warn the audience. That makes it no fun.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. Also, things that are finished, but now something that might be... Well, yes, that is coming back. It's Lost. Lost is going to be back, sort of.
Okay, how?
Oh, I want you to guess.
Is it... Is it like a media thing?
Yes, it is a media thing.
Okay, so is it on TV then? Obviously, it's not going to be TV because it's coming back.
I assume it will somehow make its way to some sort of screen.
Okay, so that means it's not absolutely... Okay, comics?
No.
Books?
No.
Video games?
Nope.
Radio play?
No.
Stage show?
Nope. Well, sort of.
Hmm? Musical. Stage musical.
You're finally close, because Lost is coming back as a live concert.
Why?
I don't know, but apparently...
A stage musical would be so much better. You'd have the cast going, we're lost, look at us, we're lost.
Oh God, there's a polar bear, now we're all dead.
Yes. Basically, who needs Rodgers and Hammerstein?
Exactly, you've got us. But yeah, apparently composer Michael Giacchino has announced he's going to stage a special one-off concert in Los Angeles of the music of Lost.
But why?
Yeah, to be fair, Lost had pretty good music.
Yeah.
But it had pretty good music in like 2012, many years ago. And now it's finished. It's over.
Not only that, it's not Japan where if you say, we're going to have a concert of the music of this anime series or this TV series, you're going to get about 5 people turning up to a Lost one. Whereas over in Japan, you'll get like a few hundred, maybe 1,000 coming to your concert of, you know, anime music because yeah, they're all a bit
I think
odd.
These kind of things have been picking up a little bit in America, but... This seems like a weird choice.
Mm.
And I certainly don't think they've picked up enough to stage like a massive production performance.
Yeah, I feel I should clarify that they're all a bit odd. I don't mean that all the people in Japan are odd. I just mean the people who are into anime and that sort of thing.
Yeah, God. People who are into anime are the worst.
Yeah, I know. I hate them so much.
Such weirdos.
Yes, yes, we are.
Yeah, yeah, we are. So, yeah, if you were really into the music of Lost, go to Los Angeles and listen to a concert.
No, no, Los Angeles. There's me with the humor.
Okay, that's it. We're ending there.
No, we can't. There's one last piece of news.
What now?
And I found this, and you didn't, and I've kept this, and you didn't know about it.
I haven't known about it.
It's ninja news.
I'm worried.
A certain actor has found a lot of success starring in various things overseas. A certain American actor. and recently executively produced and starred in a UK stage musical called Last Night a DJ Saved My Life.
No.
Which ran through February.
No, Rob.
Hang on. Now this actor is saying that he's been overseas far too long and it's perhaps time for him to return to the United States. And he is interested in kind of reviving his association with a certain car show that he used to be on.
You can't bring it back.
Do you know what
I'm talking about?
Yes.
The Hoff wants to do more Knight Rider.
Yes. So what do you think of this?
Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Knight Rider. From the 80s.
Yes.
Didn't they try to revive Knight Rider a while ago?
Well, here's the thing.
And everyone looked at it and shook their heads and just walked away.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Baywatch has a new iteration.
Oh, God, doesn't it?
And do you know who's playing the role of Mitch Buchanan, which is Hoff's old role?
Oh, no.
Who do you think?
Is it a man we talked about this morning?
I don't remember.
A man who is part of a group of people that should all be banned from the planet?
No, it's not him.
Okay, it's not Zac Efron.
No, it's not a Zac.
Channing Tatum. Some other slab of abs.
Actually, you're very, very close.
Oh, Christ, not Jai Courtney, is it?
No.
Okay, phew, because that would give me the nightmares.
Think Polynesian. Is it Polynesian for that area? I can't remember.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I've changed my mind. Baywatch is going to be amazing.
Yeah. The Hoff has praised Dwayne Johnson, who has taken over the role of Mitch Buchanan in the remake. He's a hell of a nice guy, he said. And, you know, the Hoff feels like he's moved on to other things, so he's not
really the person to lead
Baywatch anymore. He hopes one of the things that he will be on is a new Knight Rider project. And the idea has apparently been gestating for several years at the Weinstein Company. And the Hoff wishes executives there would pick his brain. He wants to see it as more of a continuation of the TV series and they can add new characters or whatever. But they should basically keep the same feeling of the show. There are so many people out there that will absolutely freak out and love it. It would be Michael Knight kind of coming out of retirement with his son and having adventures around the world, doing a Fast and Furious with Knight Rider car. How cool does that sound? How cool could it be?
So it's interesting, because I always thought the word gestating all sounded quite gross and disgusting. So it was weird to use it to like describe positive things. But this is a really appropriate use of the word.
I really don't think it's a good idea to bring back Knight Rider.
No, it's a horrible idea to bring back Knight Rider.
And they did the whole Passing the Torch episode, which was the first episode of the new Knight Rider TV series. And they really spoiled Knight Rider by trying to make it edgy and dramatic instead of a little bit camp and tongue-in-cheek.
Well, I don't think you can bring that. It's too 80s to bring back, I think.
But that's what I'm saying. Instead of going making it camp and tongue-in-cheek, they basically tried to make it like 2000s, we're going to go hardcore and we're going to be, you know, we're going to be edgy and going to have real bullets and everybody's going to die at the end. But that's not Knight Rider.
No, it isn't.
Knight Rider is basically a sarcastic car who answers back and doesn't listen to what people tell him. That is Kit through and through.
Yeah. I have no more to add to this. I am in shock.
How many times has Kit done a Marge Simpson to Michael Knight?
At least 3 times an episode.
Yeah, I don't think you should be doing that, Michael. That is what a Marge Simpson is. I don't think you should be doing that, Homer.
That's pretty much Kit's catchphrase, isn't it?
Yep. So, yeah, I want that Kit back. I liked that version of Kit.
So did I, but just leave it be. Just leave Knight Rider be.
So, yeah. Anyway.
So that's it for news then.
Yes, that is it for the news.
Okay. We're going to take a short break and then we'll be back with what we've been watching.
The
The world of comics and manga are much, much more complex than I'll ever know. So tune in to 4Panel on the Geek Show Podcast Network to make that whole world a little less intimidating.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to On The Box. And now it's time for some TV shows. Because we've done news, now it's time for shows. So, what shows have we got? Mr. Andrew.
You've gone weirdly Dutch.
I don't understand what's going on. Remember when I was doing it, when I was introducing ages ago, and I suddenly went all Irish with an action-packed adventure?
Yes, you did.
I don't know why it does that. Anyway.
I worry for you, Rob.
Over to you, Andrew.
So, yes, I have been watching, for an exciting change of pace, a box set, What We Got Sent.
Oh, who sent it?
The lovely people at Arrow Films.
Ooh, very nice.
Yes, they know how to treat us right. So they have sent us Trapped, which is an Icelandic crime drama that was on a little while ago on BBC Four. Yeah, it'll be BBC Four.
That's what happened to my voice. I was preempting and I didn't realise it.
Yes, you accidentally got a bit Icelandic.
Yes, I think I was channeling things without realizing it. Anyway, Trapped.
Yeah, so Trapped tells the story of a small town in Iceland which has a name I can't pronounce.
Can you spell it?
No, I can't. Because I'm pretty sure it's like on the sheet somewhere. And it's just like there's S's and... Actually, might not be on the sheet. It might have been on the Wikipedia page. But it's a mess. There's like S's and V's and Y's and J's and like seven R's.
Yes, I'm going to have to look for this.
So yes, in the small land of Iceland town.
I like a challenge.
Basically, there is a murder.
Dun, dun, dun.
Indeed. Well, to start with, it's not even... I don't even know if the murder technically happened there. Basically, a body washes up on the beach.
Yeah.
And it's just a guy's torso with a bunch of stab wounds in it. And
okay.
This happens coincidentally as a ferry happens to be pulling into the town. So they have to stop the ferry, say, no one can leave until we solve this murder. But wait here, because they're basically a three-man police force. So they ring Reykjavik reinforcements.
Yeah.
Only then the town gets hit by a massive snowstorm and they get trapped in, like all the roads are closed off. So basically, they have to solve the murder with absolutely no backup. And it's a really cool concept. It creates this like nice, tight, claustrophobic atmosphere as people get more and more tense and paranoid.
Okay. And I'm going to attempt to pronounce the name of this town.
Oh, this is going to be a treat.
Seyðisfjörður.
That was a sound.
I think that's how you pronounce it. Don't know, because it's got all the little umlauts and the accents and the other versions of accents and stuff like that all over it. I don't know if I said that right. So if I haven't, I apologize to the people of Seyðisfjörður for not pronouncing the name of your town right.
Well, maybe if you're lucky, you've pronounced it so bad that they don't realize that's their town you're trying to say.
Well, there's people in Reykjavik going, why is he talking about us? Yeah. Anyway, sorry about that.
So yeah, but anyway, the idea of like having it set purely in a small town, it's a really interesting idea.
Yeah.
So I think you get a lot of police dramas now, they're quite flashy and sophisticated.
Yeah.
And it's interesting seeing them have to do things with zero resources. Like literally they have to shove the body in a fish factory because they don't have anywhere they can store it without it decomposing.
Mm.
And their prison cell's like literally just a drunk tank where they have to shove people.
Okay. Do you know, this is sounding a bit like Fargo meets Hamish.
Yes, I was going to say it.
Fargo meets Hamish Macbeth.
Yes, it feels a lot like Fargo and Hamish Macbeth, but probably less quirky.
Yeah.
It's a much more serious, straight-edged drama.
Yeah, without the quirks. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But I just mean the setup, the atmosphere.
The setup and the atmosphere. And I like how well they play this idea of the small town community. That lots of characters have lots of sort of small moments between each other that really makes you feel like these are people who have known each other all their lives.
Yeah.
And, you know the ins and outs and everyone's day-to-day comings and goings. Yeah. I dig it. I like myself some Nordic noir.
Fantastic.
I think the only little niggles I have is the couple of bits where you can kind of tell the budget's run out.
Mm.
Like at one point, there's an avalanche and it's quite obviously CGI.
Oh.
Yeah, which is a bit iffy. But, you know, that's kind of understandably so.
Is that because the budget, or could that possibly be protection of the environment? Because it is Iceland.
Well, yeah, I guess it's not the problem that it's CGI. It's how obviously CGI it is.
I see. So they couldn't actually render it properly.
Yeah, like there's a bit where you can pretty much tell they're just running in front of a green screen.
Ah, yeah. So it's like those old movies and TV shows where they're in the car and they got the screen.
Yeah, I mean, it's not quite that bad. It's just, it's enough to tell it's CGI.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's fair enough. It's like they've got a budget of, I think it's like 1 billion Icelandic dollars. It's like one of the most expensive things Iceland's ever made.
Is that still worth anything, the Icelandic dollar? Donna. The Icelandic dollar. <Yeah.
laughs> Might require a little bit of heating up.
Yeah. Maybe a big garlic sauce. Oh, yeah, sorry. I was trying to make a joke about currency and it failed.
You were.
Turned into a joke about food. Anyway,
so yeah,
as you were saying,
kind of lost train of thought now. But yeah, it's certainly not a massive problem, though budgety thing. I think it's quite understandable.
Okay. But
overall, yeah, it's really good. Also, more importantly, the main character is called Andri, and he's really huge. So is Andri the Giant.
Ah, interesting.
Which I found funny.
Cool, fantastic.
Anyway, since this is like a proper view, I should probably say a bit about the DVD itself.
Yes, you should.
So, features-wise, DVD doesn't have that much. I think all it's got, apart from the episodes, is a 23-minute long making-of documentary.
Okay.
Which I found pretty interesting, because, like I said, this is a lot bigger in scope than most of the things Iceland has tried before. So it's interesting to see these people kind of come together and do something they don't have that much experience with.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool to listen to the actors talk about how this is the first time they've had to play a character for a massive amount of time. So it's like been 2 to 3 months, I think it took to film it.
Yeah.
Actually, it's interesting seeing them. Like, this is a completely new experience for me. Because I think it's something you tend to take for granted when you watch these things.
True, yeah. You assume that they've been kind of TV actors for ages and that they've been playing roles like this and they're experienced with them.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of them, they are TV actors. It's just most of what they've been doing is probably done in about a few weeks or a month.
Yeah, cool. So is this a recommend from you then?
Yeah, oh, it is a definite recommend. I think the box set itself comes out on April the 11th.
Cool.
So nice for a bit of post-Easter binge watching.
Any prices on the box set?
It costs money. Nope, no idea on how much it costs. I would assume less than 1 billion Icelandic dollars.
Yes, well, we'll...
unless that is like £6.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay, so my turn then.
Yes, your turn.
And for my turn, I have been watching DIY SOS: The Big Build.
Been getting into these kind of buildy type shows recently, haven't you?
Well, I've always liked these buildy type shows. And the weird thing is, DIY SOS isn't one of those weekly ones. I think it's on like maybe once every couple of weeks or maybe once a month. And the reason why I kind of like it is because rather than doing this whole not really improving someone's home, but just kind of papering over the cracks in order to make it look like it's done. Because you know what these makeover shows, right? What they actually do with these makeover shows, they basically go in and, you know, we'll make over your home in an hour, but then, you know, there's the cracks start appearing within like a week and stuff
like
that.
Surprise, worked in an hour is probably a bit shoddy.
Yeah, basically. But with DIY SOS, what they do, they basically say, okay, we're going to do this and we've got this space of time. So it's like 4, 5, 6, 10 days, something like that. They'll give themselves ample time to try and get things done. And it's not a team of people who you don't see on camera, because you see everybody who's involved on camera. And it's all people from that community. All of the trades have come from that area, from that community. So they all probably know each other as well. You know, or there's a high probability of them knowing each other, especially if they're in the trades. And they volunteer their time and their effort. Okay, yeah, it's kind of advertising on national TV for their business. But the fact that they're actually willing to offer their time and their professionalism and their skills to improve the lives of, you know, just one family. It's never
it's nice to see.
It is very, very nice to see. The one that was on last night, it was about a mother and her three kids, and the youngest child is severely disabled, as in like severely disabled. And literally the problem was that because she was spending so much time looking after her daughter, she couldn't do everything like work normally or anything like that. And the two older kids were basically doing what they could to help out. But for her daughter, who's 8 years old, it became a situation where she basically she wasn't living on borrowed time, but unless she could exercise properly, the quality of her life and the length of her life would be dramatically reduced because of her condition. But the house that they were living in just wasn't fit for purpose, and they didn't have the money to make it fit for purpose. And so I think it was her parents or her friends wrote in to the BBC and said, look, this is the situation she's in. Is there any way that DIY SOS can help? And so they basically went along to help. And they basically they gutted the house, the old house, built an extension. And this is all built to code as well. This is all built to, you know, the highest standards of the building codes. So it's not a shoddy job. And the workmen and the trades who come in, and they're there till like late on at night. And the build this time was actually quite a difficult one because it was during bad weather. There was snow coming in. It was sub-zero temperatures. And then it snowed. And they're up against all of that. And they're working pretty much round the clock to basically turn this house from what it was into what it became. And that kind of effort, to see that kind of effort from people who are just volunteering their time, for me, that's TV gold. That's the kind of thing I'd like to see more of on TV. Not these fake makeover shows, but actual, you know, actually changing someone's life and making their life better. For me, that's what makes a good TV show of that type anyway.
Yeah, I feel like stuff like 60 Minute Makeover feel the need to do that, but throw in a gimmick that just doesn't seem necessary.
Yeah. Whereas DIY SOS, they were basically, everybody were, okay, they were talking to the trades, and yes, they were having a laugh and a joke because it is basically a construction site, and, you know, you can't be working at something like that without having a sense of humor. But what I like about DIY SOS is the core team are the same from one show to the next. The core team members are exactly the same from one show to the next. And I've been watching DIY SOS for quite a few years now, and there's, you know, when you have a running gag, one of the team members, he's been talking about how he used to be when he was a kid, you know, and everyone's kind of going, yeah, 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 you know, you're all talking, that kind of thing. But then one of his old schoolmates turns up in yesterday's episode, and everyone's suddenly just kind of thrown a bit because everything he's been saying for years, it was like, Nick Knowles, he just looks at the camera and says, I'm going to have to leave because we've been taking the mickey out of him for years, but it turns out everything he's been telling us is the truth. I don't know how to process this. And the thing is, because I've watched it so much, I know what he's talking about because it's stuff that they talk about on the show. It's kind of like us when we're doing a podcast.
I will have lots of little in-jokes.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. And it's only if you listen to the podcasts regularly that you'll understand the in-jokes. And it's the same with DIY SOS. And I like the fact that there's a unity with the team as well. They actually work towards a single specific purpose. And yes, they do sometimes argue with each other, and yes, things can go wrong, but they make the effort to get things right the first time, and they're not afraid of showing when things go wrong, which I think is the important bit, because I've seen too many makeover shows where they don't actually show you what happens when something goes wrong and they have to take longer than the 60 minutes for the 60-minute makeover.
Because that is the inherent problem with the show.
Yeah. But, you know, take, for example, the bricks on the extension don't match the bricks of the old house. So they find a way around it by staining the bricks. So they get a couple of lads with, you know, tins of paint and start staining the bricks. And they have to do it by hand because they can't get it into the mortar in between the bricks.
I think that's what 60-minute makeover is missing out then, because that's the interesting bit.
Yeah.
Well, like, you suddenly have to find a solution to something.
One of the guys who was in the trades, one of the volunteers, who'd actually come from his own job to offer his time and his effort, they basically found out that he got second place in the UK National Kickboxing Championships. So they basically had him doing high kicks over the over the team members' heads to basically check if he could. Just one of those little throwaway things, but it adds to the warmth and the charm of the show. And I know there are people who don't like Nick Knowles as a presenter, but he's fine. And he's actually the kind of person you want for that type of show. You don't want somebody who's too charming and too affable. You want somebody who's a little bit rough and ready as well.
Yeah, I can see the guy from Flogger doing it.
Exactly. But Nick Knowles fits it because he's dealing with builders and joiners and carpenters, and they're no-nonsense people. You know, they tend to be quite no-nonsense, and they have a good, solid, robust sense of humour. And you need somebody who's able to make those jokes with them and make them feel at ease, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not, you know, that's not Paul Martin or, you know, whoever else. That's Nick Knowles, who you want in there.
Tim Wanacott, though. I bet Tim Wanacott would be
Tim
great.
Wanacott would be fine. seriously, he'd be totally fine in anything. Seriously, just if you have a game show, Tim Wanacott. Because he doesn't care.
No. He'll just be there doing what he does.
Yeah, with his funky glasses.
Yes.
Oh, stylish. Anyway, but yeah, that's what I've been watching. And I've got to say, when you see the reaction of the family, I watched one a while ago, which was kind of an armed forces one, and they basically built a street. They renovated the houses on a street for former servicemen and women who had been injured and had now become disabled because of war. And they basically renovated a street for them. And they did it stage by stage. I think it was 2 episodes over the course of a fortnight. And the build was obviously much longer than that. They've basically edited it down to. And you had Prince William and Prince Harry turning up at the build as well and saying, "This is amazing work you're doing."
That's pretty impressive.
And it's just, you know, it's one of those shows. It makes a difference to somebody's life. The person who's having the build, it makes a difference to their life. And I think it's probably one of the few shows that BBC have going on right now that I will happily sit down and watch because it restores a little bit of my faith in the human race.
I think we should end there then. I think that's actually, for once, a nice point to end on.
Yeah. So, yeah, DIY SOS, the big build. I can't sing its praises enough. I think it's doing an amazing job. I think Nick Knowles is a good presenter for it. And, yeah, everybody who's ever volunteered to basically offer their time to make make a difference in someone's life, that's something that no one can take away. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. I think that's the end of the show. Do you want to do the blurb?
I'll do the blurb. Yes, the Geek Show Podcast Network is a voluntary organization, so we do need everyone's support in order to keep producing our amazing content. And so with that in mind...
Amazing is a bit far.
It is amazing. You're amazing. I'm amazing.
I am amazing, aren't I?
Everybody's amazing.
I take
amazing.
It back. I agree. We are amazing.
Yes. We am amazing.
We am amazing.
Yes. So, yeah, we do need everyone's support in order to keep producing this brilliant content that we love doing. So with that in mind, we do have a donate button on the right-hand side of our website, thegeekshow.co.uk. If you could, please make a donation. If you want something in return for your monies, then we do have a shop with some merchandise on there, and we are adding more designs now that the brand new website, the shiny, sparkling new website, is up and running. Yay!
Woo! We have a shout box and everything.
Yes, we do. So you can shout at us. Now, All of our shows are available on Mixcloud and soon iTunes, Stitcher, and various other places as well once I have a secret thing.
Ooh, secret thing.
Which I will tell you about in a minute. You'll understand exactly why it's a secret, though. But I'm not telling you a lot. Sorry. You're not allowed to know that one yet. I will tell you all sometime in the future. But for now, it's a secret to us. But yes, we will soon be on iTunes and Stitcher and various other places like that. And also, our YouTube channel is going to be rebuilt and better and stronger and faster than ever.
And we'll have Kanye West rapping along with it.
Because we have the technology. And we can rebuild me. So, yeah. Until next week, I think everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful time because I'm still on a feel-good factor from watching DIY SOS yesterday.
Yeah, have a passable day.
No, have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful Easter weekend. I have been Rob.
And I've been Andrew.
We'll see you all next week.
Thanks for listening.